Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Good morning to you all. We had such a wonderful adventure yesterday. Wasn't that fun? Really nice to share all of that time together. We were working this morning during Bodhinanda's class. We had the main Kulapatis here at the spiritual park who look after the grounds and the building and construction and maintenance, all of that. And so we're planning out these pavilions. Would be like the Narmada Lingam pavilion with that thatch and those nice natural wood and stone. So we're going to replace all of the tents on the property, which looks so funky, with this really nice style. And so it's coming along really good. And had a little Bodhinanda miracle, just a tiny one this morning. So S.K. Morgan is pretty much the muscle behind this improvement, this architectural improvement, and also the fundraising part. And he's been trying again and again and again to get hold of the architect so that we could have the plans while we were here. He really wanted to show Bodhinanda the plans. And the architect had some big job in Dubai or somewhere, and this was just a little to-do thing, and he didn't want to do it. And so then yesterday, Bodhinanda, and he'd been really trying for like 6 or 8 weeks, almost every day. So to give you an idea of the intensity of his effort to get hold of this guy, wouldn't answer any emails, wouldn't answer any text, anything. So then yesterday, Bodhinanda just kind of casually asked S.K. Morgan, well, when's the architect going to give us the plans? So S.K. said to himself, well, if the guru asks a little question like that, then I need to do something in response, right? And so he said, email's not working, instant messaging is not working. So he grabbed the phone last night and talked to the architect, and the architect says, I'll have it there the first thing in the morning. So Bodhinanda's little innocent comment manifested something nice, which is great. So next time you come to the spiritual park, we're going to have nice open facilities, and we're going to hold our classes over there, overlooking the river. Thank you. Classes overlooking the river in this thatched pavilion, which will be a very sweet experience. And we made it big enough that we can do that. It's going to be nice. So I wanted to talk, as you saw probably on my little poster that I made today, about love. And it's an easy topic for me. And then I looked at my list of stories, and I already told about half of the stories to you that I was supposed to tell today, just because I got inspired, I guess. So I'm hoping that someone here will help me. So if you think to yourself, do I have a story of love with Gurudeva that you can tell everyone? And so in a few minutes, I'll ask if there's any stories you can share. So first, let's listen to Gurudeva's words. Oh, really hot. Thank you so much. All Saivites throughout the world The United Saivites of the world are linked together in a bond of love, Siva Sambandham. Everyone knows Sambandham, that idea of tying together, connection, bond, the shared Sambandham. Shiva Sambandham. God Siva is immanent love and transcendent reality. Our religion tells us that the mature soul must lift up and take care of the young soul. Our religion tells us that we must go through the natural experiences of life and be responsible for our actions. Our religion tells us that there is no mortal sin, only experience. Our religion tells us that if we have bad experiences, they are the result of previous actions that we have caused. Our religion tells us that if we cause an action toward another that hurts another, we can atone by doing penance and cure the agonizing mind. Our religion tells us that we come back into physical bodies again and again until we are the master of our soul, body, and emotions, and realize that we are a bright soul filled with light. Our religion tells us that because we love God Siva, we love one another, for God Siva loves all of us. Our religion tells us that God Siva is like a father and a mother, not a vengeful God, but a God of love who helps us. Always come closer to Him. Right now, among the young Hindus in Malaysia, India, Mauritius, and Sri Lanka, there is a big spiritual revival of the great love of God Shiva. In those countries, they know that they need their religion to help them through life. And so I urge all Saivites, devotees of God Shiva, to worship Him as the God of love, and in doing so, to become beings of love yourself. The great saints of our religion were Shiva Bhaktas. They changed the world through their love of God. They did not need vast institutions to spread their message. They did not need riches or carts filled with books to spread their message. They did not need radio, television, or the internet. Their message spread because their minds and hearts were filled with direct knowledge, direct experience of God Shiva. Their message spread far and wide, though some perhaps never left their native village. They just evolved within it. You too are the emissaries of God Shiva, and your love for Him is your greatest message to mankind. Simply love God Shiva and let that love radiate out to the world. Shiva is love and nothing but love. If Shiva is love, and if Shiva is everything, then everything is love. We are surrounded by that divine love, guided by that divine love. Our life is made possible because of that divine love. And because we are Saiva Siddhantins, everything relates to the four margas, Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana. And our experience and expression of love is different in each of these stages. If you go back to about 1959, Gurudeva gave a beautiful little talk in his San Francisco temple And the name of the talk was Love is the Sum of the Law. So people were looking for a spiritual experience and looking for spiritual direction and looking for yogic insights. And he told them, well, after all the looking is done, love is what should be the result. Love should be what you unfold into and become. You become a being of love. And then that, he took us through a whole series of ways that that happens, and taught us how to come to that love, because we don't naturally and always love everything and everyone around us. It doesn't work out that way always. We love those that we love, and then there's the rest of the world. But what he wanted us to do was to diminish those barriers so that our love didn't have that those walls. They're sort of self-constructed fences that, okay, I love you, so I let you in. I don't love you, so you're out there. And we ourselves, you know, with their help probably, because, you know, they're giving us bad time, but we create these little corrals, and we put those that we love in this inside of our corral and those that we don't love outside of our corral. But Gurudeva wanted us to strive for something more universal, something bigger than that human preferentialness that is so natural to us. He wanted us to strive for a love that broke through all of that and tried to see the divine in everyone, even those that don't like us very much, even those that we have a hard time understanding. And that by doing that, we expand ourselves. We expand our consciousness. We expand our mind. We expand our experience. We expand our radiance. That's what we want to do. He often said that the many schools of thought and religions make a square to keep people out. He says, but because we're Saivites, we make a circle and we take them all in. So we want to be that inclusive. Not in that kind of inclusivity you all love intellectually, but it's another thing to live it every day. It's a totally another challenge, and that becomes your sadhana. That becomes something that you reflect on and respond to in your life, and feedback to yourself, well, gee, how well did I do with that one? You know, I didn't show a whole lot of love in that situation. Why was that? And how could I have done better? How could I have responded from a higher chakra than I did? Because if we're living in this chakra of love up here, then we'll always respond with love until someone drives us down into here, and then we want to do battle with them, and then they'll drive us down to here, and we want to intellectually subdue them, and they'll drive us down to here, and we're scared of them, and so forth. But if we're living up here in the higher chakras, no matter what experience comes our way, we only have one response, which is affection for the world and gratitude and love for the universe. So Gurudeva expressed this all the way through his life, from that first talk, Love is the Sum of the Law, all the way to what you just heard, which was Anbe Shivamayam Satyame Parashivam. God is love, and love is everything. And Yogaswami had said the exact same thing. Love is all there is. If you want to get down to it, love is all that there is. And everything in life and nature is an expression of that love. But he also expressed it in practical ways. We went to, short story, we went to Sri Lanka in 1972 I'm just wondering if I put this in the Guru Chronicles or not. I might have. Tell me if this is in the Guru Chronicles. So we went to Sri Lanka in 1972, and he wanted to visit his catalyst. You remember Dayananda, Noel Paris, and wanted to visit him. He was getting rather elderly, and this man had been an important part of his early training with all of that business of going out into the villages and the magically putting words in the mouth of the speakers and making Gurudeva introduce the electric saw to the whole construction community and all of those things. That man was really important to him, and so he wanted to honor him on this visit back to Sri Lanka. So we went to the family, the Perez family house, where we thought he was living, and knocked on the door. And we said, you know, we're here, we'd like to say a few words to Dayananda. And they said, well, he doesn't live here anymore. So Gurudeva said, well, where does he live? They said, oh, we took him to an old people's home. He's getting a little bit frail and hard for us to take care of him. And so we put him in an old people's home outside of Colombo. So Gurudeva said, well, where is this old people's home? And well, you go here and you go here and you go there. And they gave us instructions. So off we went in our little hired car to this kind of rural, almost out in the boonies, old people's home. Nice place, a very decent place. We went in and he was all alone in this room, nobody around him. And he had a little bit of a scraggly beard because he wasn't shaving often, obviously. And he looked a little bit out of it, frankly. And he must have been maybe 80 years old or something like that, 85 years old at that time. So Gurudeva had this marvelous, sweet encounter with him, which was a great privilege to see. You know, it was like after all those years, they connected, and Gurudeva shared with him where his life had gone. And, you know, and basically in part saying indirectly to Dayananda, you did good. And you were important in my life, and my life hopefully is expressive of what you would have wanted too. And he was so sweet, and he gave this big smile, but he didn't have many teeth in the smile. And Gurudeva said, what happened to your teeth? Oh, well, they got rotten in the dentist took them out. So at that point, Gurudeva was starting to feel very uncomfortable with Dayananda's situation. He started asking questions. Well, how are you living here? What are they feeding you? And what's the medical support that you have? And question after question after question. And basically, the sum of it was, you know, I'm an old man living in a room by myself waiting to die, and no, you know, my family never visits. Wow, Gurudeva was just so not happy with that. So he told me, he said, go get the car and drive it up to here and get a wheelchair and bring him out to the car. We're taking him away. And I said, but do you think we should talk to the doctor first? He said, I don't care what the doctor says. This isn't where this man belongs, and we're taking him away. So he had me take him out. We put him in the car. We drove up to the same house. You know, we're like 4 or 5 hours later. Drove up to the same house, knocked on the door, and said, we're here. And there was their father and grandfather at the door in a wheelchair with Gurudeva, and Gurudeva just rolled him right into the house and said, he needs you. He needs you, and it's not fair of you to just park him in this room and wait for him to die. I'm not going to allow that. And he needs you, and we're going to take care of him. And on the way over in the car, Gurudeva had me take all the money that I had in my little satchel and give it to him. It wasn't much, you know, like $200 or $300, something like that. So Gurudeva handed the money to the daughter and said, the first thing we do is you take him to the dentist and you get his teeth fixed. So I want to see a big smile on his face, get his teeth fixed. And the next thing you do, you buy him a TV. Yeah, I want him to have a TV. In those days, not every house in that community had a television. So you buy him a TV, and I want you to feed him, and I want you to write to me every month and tell me how he's doing. And told the whole family, made them promise that he was going to care for them, and then we went back to our hotel. I was so moved by Gurudeva's... not only did he love this man and respect him and remember everything, but he acted on that love. You know, that's the hard part, right? You can go and commiserate and say, I'm sorry this is happening, but to be so bold as to, you know, open the door, put him in a car and drive away without telling the staff, I don't know what they thought. where did he go? You know, they probably tracked down the family and found out. But Gurudeva didn't care. He, you know, this was a human being that was important, and we were going to take care of him, and we're going to do it right now. And to me, that's love in action. Love in action. We can have love and not act, and we can have love and act on the love. And so that's my first story. Yes. The trident. Trishula. Yes, that's right. Yeah, those are love. He's saying about the Trishula and also the Shakti veil has the same three principles behind it. You know, love, wisdom, and action. And those are considered the three powers of Shiva. Yeah, love. Anybody have a Gurudeva story? Stand up, Bhimani. Here comes a microphone.
In 2001, I had the good fortune of being on the European Inner Search with Gurudeva and my husband, and I'm not sure how many pilgrims, but one afternoon in the Hudson Room, we were all gathered, and Gurudeva shared the mantra that he had been telling us that he was going to share. For several days, and we were all in great anticipation.
The secret mantra.
The secret mantra. And he said, well, this is the long-awaited day when I will share this with you. So he told us that the mantra was, I love you, you love me. And he not only told us the mantra, but he described it. So he went, I, a big heart, love you, me, love me. Oh my gosh, the feeling we had from Gurudeva. And then he did it without saying the words.
We're going to all do it with you.
Okay, good. And he said, did you get the idea? He said, now I want you to turn to the person next to you and do this. Look into their eyes and say it and describe it. So we did. And then we turned back to Gurudeva, and he had a big, big smile on his face. He was very pleased with how we all looked, and he said, "Now, wasn't that wonderful?" And there was so much love in that room, not only for Gurudeva, but for everyone. And I'll never, ever, ever forget it as long as I live. And just a little sequel to that story, I have practiced that in many situations, including some that were very challenging. There was a woman that I worked with when we helped my in-laws with their inn in Mendocino, and we just had some karma in this life, and it just seemed like no matter what I said or did, just didn't come out right or just didn't work with her. So one day, I was thinking about that mantra, and I was across our backyard from her. I saw her walking. I thought, okay, this is the moment. And so I looked at her. She didn't see me. And I said that mantra in my mind as she walked very strongly. And I really, really felt it, as Gurudeva would want me to feel it for her. And after she had walked from, say, there to there, she suddenly turned and looked at me. And she walked right over to me, and we had the nicest conversation after all those weeks. And things just got better and better between us. And now when I see her occasionally when we go visit, she just puts her arms out and gives me a big hug. So thank you, Gurudeva.
He expanded that a number of times in later life, to the point where one point we were meeting on the island with some people, and there was one fellow who didn't really appreciate us very much, as, at least not as much as we thought he should appreciate us. And it was always kind of offish and distant and, you know, who are these guys kind of consciousness. And so Gurudeva said, "Watch this." So we went to the next meeting, and I was supposed to see something. "Watch this." And I didn't see anything. And then suddenly the guy got up, like a half hour into the meeting, and he said, "I really want to thank the monastery for coming to these meetings and being at these meetings. You know, I don't say so, but I really think you guys are cool." So we left the meeting, driving Gurudeva back home, and he said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Well, I was really happy to see him say those words, you know." He said, "Yeah, but what you didn't see was I was there at the beginning of the meeting saying, 'I love you,' silently. I love you, you love me. I love you, you love me." And this, that's what turned him around. And it it's a good lesson because it shows us how, you know, people love those who love them. You can't help it. If somebody loves you, it's like, gee, you understand the universe, you know. You love me. And so it's a wonderful way to get love back, is to love somebody even if it's a hard person to get along with, and as it was in this case. And then Gurudeva just did his little magic mantra, and that somehow psychically opened the man to have the freedom to say those words that he said. Any other story? Love story? So love in action. We have a woman, a wonderful woman on our island This is similar to my first story. Her name is Rosemary Smith, and she's with a very prominent family, and they have real estate and all kinds of things. And she has helped us with some land deals in the past. And one day, one of her sons, she had four sons, and one of her sons was swimming with a group on our island in a pool with a heavy, like it was a waterfall and a stream, as I recall. And a little boy or girl, a little boy, was swept into the current and was drowning. And so Rosemary's son was a very athletic fellow, in his 20s, I believe, dove into this swirling pond and saved the boat, brought the boy to the shore. But in the course of it, he was swept to his death, astonishingly. And Rosemary Smith was totally traumatized by this. I mean, if you can imagine the worst kind of sorrow, debilitating, handicapping sorrow that's humanly possible, that's where she was. And nobody could console her, none of her other sons or her husband or anything. And it seemed as the months went on that she would never come out of this. It just kept going and going and going. So one day Gurudeva said, go to the kitchen and make a little, we call it a jack-in-the-box because it's a takeout thing, like it's our own jack-in-the-box. So go in the kitchen, make a little jack-in-the-box meal, and take it over and feed Rosemary. Okay, so she lived about 2 miles from our monastery, so we drove over. We knocked on the door and we said, we brought some food for you. And actually, we gave that one to her husband. She didn't come to the door. And we went home. And then a few days later, Gurudeva said, let's take lunch to Rosemary again. So we took lunch to Rosemary. And then we started taking lunch to Rosemary every day for, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks or so. We would just go to the door, knock on the door, nothing else. We just say, here's some food from the monastery. And and according to her husband, that tiny little gesture of the door being opened and the monks there with their homemade food did something to her thinking. I don't know what. And slowly, 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 she came out of that depression. Today, she's totally fine, 1,000% perfect, and gotten over, healed up completely. But it shows what a simple gesture can mean to people, especially in those times of their life. When they want to be alone, they just shove everybody out. And people try to get in, but they can't. And a wordless gesture is often acceptable. And you can take that safely into your experience, Whereas you don't want to have a conversation. You don't want to be consoled. You don't want anything else. You just leave me alone. But the wordless gesture is like the deepest kind of loving gesture that could be made. And I was so impressed with that form of love. Again, love in action, that whole idea. Then Gurudeva did, did a similar thing. This isn't widely known, but back in the 1980s, Satchidananda of the Integral Yoga Fellowship? Swami Satchidananda, he has a Yogaville place, and he's the Woodstock superhero. He was at Woodstock on the stage. So he had come to America, established a little institution, and at that time, they were based in Northern California, where we used to have an ashram called Himalayan Acres years and years ago. And Gurudeva got wind of something that was happening at Satchidananda's ashram. Excuse me. And that was, he didn't like it at all. What was happening was that he'd created a board of directors to manage all of the business and finance activities of his institution. And he'd invested in the board of directors certain powers, and they had their bylaws and so forth. And he didn't provide in the bylaws enough protections, and one day they mutinied on him. And they basically said, we'll take it from here. Thank you very much. They kicked him off the board of directors of his own spiritual enterprise and sent him on his way. So he went and took shelter in this little cottage nearby. Gurudeva found out about this. He brought Bodhinatha and me into his office, and he said, I want to tell you something that's happening with a fellow Swami in America. And he told us the whole story. And then he told us a couple of other things, which under the circumstances were impossible to ever forget. He said, I don't want you ever, ever, ever to put the power of our order into anyone else's hands. You can't do that. They should not have had the fiduciary ability to kick their own spiritual leader out of his own institution. That's a bad karma they're going to have to face. But he should have also protected himself and not gotten, you know, would have been wiser if he hadn't made it so that they could do that. So don't you ever go there. Really important. So then he said, go down to the airport and get on a plane. I want you to fly to Northern California for however many days it takes. And you just sit with him and hear his story and help him. I have pictures. You would love this picture of Bodhinatha in his sweet youth. And neither one of us has a beard at this point. It's a really cool picture with Satchidananda there. And he told us the whole tale. And then we went and talked with the people who had done this. And we told them, Gurudeva sent us from Hawaii, and frankly, you've made a giant blunder here. And you don't want the karma of that to follow you through life. And you haven't gained anything by taking over this institution. It's not going to be anything without Swami. No one's going to come and listen to you. You know, you're a director, you're an administrator. And they come because Swami's teaching, Swami's light, Swami's life and legacy. So you have to turn this around. And no, we're not going to do that. And I said, well, we talked to him, well, why did you do it in the first place? Well, we have a certain vision of where this institution can go. It's a bigger vision than Swami has. You know, we basically, this is a money machine, and we're going to do good here. And we said, well, that's just such a trivial purpose. That's not the purpose of this institution, to make money and have more yoga classes and build more buildings and have more publications. That was their whole plan. They wanted to really leverage these teachings. And we said, first of all, it's not going to work without his power behind it. And so we kept talking, and finally they relented, and he got back in charge, and he kicked them out. But that was Gurudeva's way to come to the aid of all of those people. Chamundi? Oh, if Bodhinatha will permit it, which he probably won't, But if you secretly email me, other things could happen. It's a really cool photo.
I have not really a direct, exactly story.
Oh.
But it's been very moving to me. My father and my parents were those people in the community that you were talking about, that Gurudeva could just kind of bring everybody in. And so after I started to attend the temple regularly, and you know, my parents are of the Jewish faith, and instead of being like, are you sure you want to do this and what's this about, they both were so full of love and gratefulness, because in my father's words, there was never anybody that he ever met in his entire life that was at once both so strong
and present at the same time as being loving and caring. And he was so moved by the times that he was in Gurudeva's presence that that's helped to bring me to this point.
Hmm.
So kind of in a backdoor sort of a way to receive the love.
Yes, to amplify that idea, we had a big surprise birthday party for Gurudeva when he was 72. And it really was a surprise. So we invited all the people who knew him on the island that should come to his birthday party. And there must have been about 450, 500 people there. It was wonderful. We had dinner and we had all kinds of fun things happened. We told Gurudeva, would you please get dressed up a little bit because we'd like to take you to dinner. So he got dressed up a little bit and we put him in a little wagon and we drove him out to a field to a helicopter. And we put him in the helicopter and we flew the helicopter to Kilohana, a big mansion, and had a wonderful, wonderful birthday party. But the reason that it's relevant is that the mayor was there, Marianne Kusaka, and she, as part of it, we brought the mayor on the stage and she taught him a hula dance. They did a hula together, and then he taught her a Manipuri dance, and then did a Manipuri dance together. It was really sweet, sweet theater. But then the mayor afterwards came to me and she said, you know, I've pretty much been at every event, activity, party, celebration, meeting on my island for the last 8 years, but I've never been to any gathering that had such a range of different people, from the highest, most prominent in the community to, you know, a gardener or a gas station person or a waiter or something. She said, every other meeting I go to, you know, it's all this or it's all that. But somehow Gurudeva reached every strata of humanity because he didn't see the strata. He didn't see the differences, right? So he saw your father as a divine something, and your father probably felt that. And the same with wealthy people. And so interesting. I wonder if Swami could tell us a story.
Well, I'm here in next to Swamiji, and I feel like I'm in my own ashram.
Oh.
And I look at Gurudev, Swami Subramanyamji, and I see Swami Pranavanandaji. They kind of merge. And over the last couple of years, we seem to be getting closer and closer. And we once met in Texas for that HMEC conference. And by chance, Swamiji asked me to speak to Jayanath. Jayanath was there. Jayanath?
Mayanada.
Mayanada, right. So something came out of my mouth, and then he says, Swamiji says, it was the right thing to you have said to him. And since then, he never left the, he became a member of the order. And then Swamiji said that Swamiji will do an article on Bharat Seva Ashram Shain. Just like that. And that was, I think that was very unique that you would have done that, right? And that article in Hinduism today went very far and wide, and it was such a beautiful thing that, you know, it gave prominence and importance and attention to Bharat Seva Ashram Shain. It was a very wonderful thing. And then the relationship started building, and here am I. And I feel more at home with him and the monks here because with this inner search, because so many things are being said that it's really like coming from our deep down in us. We are giving expression. Bodhinachami is really giving it out there, Sadashivananda, and all the monks, and you also contributing. But the power of the guru, I want to give you an instance, because I don't see the difference between the Satgurus. Last year was went to Trinidad, and I arrived there on the 12th of April, and I did satsang there, and then scheduled to leave on the 26th of April. So one senior Swamiji came and he says, no, you're going to go to Guyana, but I want you to come back, because on the 4th of May, we have one big satsang. And I think Ashwini was part of the Durga Puja celebration. So I went to Guyana, but I couldn't change my flight to come back. There were no seats from Trinidad to New York, JFK. And then it was too much money, so I gave up on it. So on the third night, I'm doing satsang, scheduled for a satsang, in this mundir that, I helped start it financially, and then we put a picture of the guru there, Swami Pranavanandaji. So I went there now, and I said, we'll be doing guru puja. And the gentleman who was in charge says, no, you can't do it here. We changed things up. So I said, no, it's not going to happen. So I did the guru puja, and he couldn't stop me because the willpower was operating. But there was a little uneasiness with me. So I'm coming on the plane by myself and all troubled, you know, look what happened. So the path on the plane to come back to New York is over from Guyana to JFK, is over Trinidad. So the pilot is saying, look down, you'll see the bright lights of Trinidad. Look down. And then 1 hour after, he says, oops, we have to turn the plane and this plane around. That our radar is now working and JFK wouldn't allow us to go there. So we land back at the airport in Trinidad at 3 a.m. They took us to the Hotel Sheraton next to the water.
For free.
$250 for each person. We were 214 of us on the plane. And then by 6 o'clock, I was showered, and I called the ashram, and they picked me up. Puja starts at 7, end at 1, got back to the plane at 4:55, and came to New York. Now, I don't know what you call that, but that is the power of the guru.
Power of the guru.
So you're not here just on skimming on the top. You have to have the faith in the guru. That absolute faith. If you don't and you're hedging around, let me wait and check it out a little more and see, I didn't get this one right. I didn't get that right. Don't do that. Have the absolute faith. If you're looking for anything more, I don't know what else you can hear or see what's going on in this inner search. But this place, this spiritual ground, and all that we've experienced, will be experiencing, that, you know, this is a very fine opportunity for the moksha and put us all together. So Swamiji, thank you so much for being in your company, and all of you. And my message is, don't hesitate, you know. Don't look for anything other. You got it all here. Take it and let it be part of you. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Namah Shivaya. Thank you. That's great. So we just have a couple of minutes, and I want to end by having Yogaswami's voice added to this, and also Tirumandaram, because this idea of Anbe Shivam is an important central notion of Saiva Siddhanta, and it's something that Gurudeva struggled with when we went to Jaffna. Gurudeva would say, why don't you put Shiva in your home shrine? You'd go into a home shrine and Shiva wouldn't be there. And they'd say, oh, we can't do that. So why not? Well, Shiva is a god of destruction. He'll destroy our home or our life or go downhill. And Gurudeva said, what? You can't bring God into your home? No, they won't allow it. And he really worked to try to, as much as he could, correct that idea and get people to put Shiva in their home. He said, you have to have God in your home. That's crazy that he's going to destroy. Why would God destroy you? He's a God of love. But you can see how people get brainwashed and get superstitions going. So we'll end with Yogaswami and Tirumandaram. This is sweet. As we kiss our children every day before we go to work, so must we daily adore the Lord. When you worship God, you must not ask for anything. You must worship for the sake of love of God. Afterwards, you can request things. Such a wise guru. Love others as you love me. This is a really important thing that Gurudeva also was strong about. So he would sit with shishyas, and if they weren't getting along, and he'd say, you love me, right? Oh, of course I love you, Gurudeva. And he'd say, and you love me. Oh, yes. Well, if you love me and you love me, then you should love each other. So he used that little technique of trying to say, well, we have a shared love, so we shouldn't have anything else between us. So love others as you love me. Lost my place. Hang on. Yet, while I'm scrolling, a little gesture of love. We were in Moscow at the Global Forum for Human Survival, and it was really cold this December. And every day we would go to this one table and have peas and potatoes. That was, and cabbage. We had peas, cabbage, and potatoes, because we didn't eat any meat, and most of the food was meat. And this one young waitress would always serve us, and so on the last day that we were there, I should tell you, Gurudeva and I had wore these really unusual, almost knee-height boots, like thermal with fleece in them, that kind of a boot, because it was so cold. So we had these beautiful thermal fleece boots on, and so the waitress came up to our table, and she's looking at Gurudeva's boots, and Gurudeva said, why are you looking at my boots? And she said, those are beautiful boots. And she said something like, I wish I could give those boots to my husband. Something like that. I wish I could give my boots to my husband. I wish my husband had boots like that. And Gurudeva took off his boots, asked me to take off my boots, handed her two sets of boots, and we went barefooted back to our room. What in Russia, yeah. But it was our last day, so. But what a gesture of affection that was. Yogaswami, love all as yourself. Bad men obey out of fear, but good men obey out of love. And through love, you will be able to see God. This is Tirumandaram now. I'm going to shift to Tirumandaram. The Lord of the forehead eye that showed the path of divine love, seek him in love intense. The Ganga in the cranium will flow with his grace, and in exceedingly fine love, he will become your savior. Chant Om Shivaya in love, and you shall be immortal. It is yoga rare and jnana as well. And with this love, the illumined jiva receives the grace as he becomes Shiva. That indeed is the true liberation. Hotter is he than fire, cooler is he than water. And yet none knows of his grace abounding. Purer than a child, kinder by far than a mother. Nearest to love is Shiva, he of the flowing matted locks. This is a famous one. We'll end with this. The ignorant prate that love and Shiva are two, but none do know that love alone is Shiva. And when men but know that love and Shiva are the same, love as Shiva, they will remain. Om Namah Shivaya. If anyone has a 3-year plan you haven't turned in, now's the time. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu. Saha viryam karavavahai tejasvinavadi tamashtu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.